die Superkakerlake.
Hey, Prosom, thank you for being here.
Oh, you're welcome. Glad to be here.
And I'm sure it's very interesting for you to come, well, to Europe again and bringing some of your new modules with you will have in the future. And one of these modules, I have to admit, I'm very interested in. It's the module using a Morpheus filter.
Right.
Something we already discovered decades ago in another instrument. Mm-hmm. But now we might have this filter in a module for a modular synthesizer.
Yes, yeah, that's been quite a fun project to make that port over from the one technology to the other.
What does the Morpheus filter do?
So the Morpheus filter, if you remember from the original Morpheus, the concept of the morphing filter, you start with the idea that there's a cube of space. And we have a picture here of the cube of space. Mm-hmm. And you can see the little white dot down at the bottom. That shows where you are in the cube. Now, you have to imagine that there's a filter frequency response for each vertex of the cube. So there's eight different vertices, eight different filters that are defined to define a Morpheus cube. So we are taking the Morpheus cubes from the inspiration of the original Morpheus as expanded to the Ultra Proteus. So we actually have a library of 288 different cubes that were designed by sound designers way back when for EMU. And we've now translated those into the parameter space for this new filter, but they are fundamentally the same sound design, mm-hmm. and that's what we're starting from. We'll do some tweaks on that, but yeah. It's a starting point for us. So for example, right now, I've picked filter number 7, which is a flanging filter, and I'll turn up a little bit of sound now, and we'll be able to hear when all the parameters are set at 0, at the 0 corner of the cube in all three dimensions. We hear kind of a pitched white noise coming out of that. As I turn up a parameter, for example, the frequency parameter, you can see on the screen how the transfer function will change, and we hear its effect on the noise. So we moved up one dimension of the cube there. Morph is a second dimension here. Again, the sound is moving up in frequency, but in a different way. Now the transform dimension, which is the going back dimension in this cube, is just sort of flattening the frequency response out in this case.
Yeah.
So we've now explored 4 of the filters in the cube. If we went to the back of the cube, or the top of the cube, and then across, with using both morph and frequency, there's another one of those filters. Let's take transform. That takes us to almost a flat frequency response up there. We now take away morph from that, we're back fairly flat, and now we've got some notches. So you can see we now have 8 points that are defined.
Yeah.
And we can...
Well, one thing to mention, which is maybe not that obvious, we have a graphical representation of the response curve of that filter. That means we have a display showing frequency and gain for that particular filter we're just listening to.
Right, right. And that display, you'll see, is updated as the parameters change. So as you put in control voltages or change the knobs, this is showing you the frequency response at the point in the cube that you've chosen from those. So, again, we get a little sound in here as well. And you can see that it can get quite... Yeah, you get... There, you got it.
Yeah.
Good job. So now we're sitting right dead center in the middle of the cube, for example. Now, the filters themselves, this is a flanger, so it has mainly a bunch of notches and resonances in there. And there's a whole family of different flangers that we have. Just dancing around in here. They all, you know, are pretty easily characterized with this with this noise, but they also do good jobs on pitch sounds.
Yeah. And it's even interesting that the filter itself, you may have one knob to change the frequency,
right.
But there are other functions. If you change that parameter, maybe the frequencies of some part of the filter change and others remain or change in another manner.
Exactly. Another one of my favorite filters here is it's number 39, VAU-VAU-1. And this is, if we look at the spectrum on it, we can see that as I change the frequency control here, the lower resonants are moving, but the top one is not. If I turn in a little noise here, we hear the whistling sound. That peak will stay the same, but as it... We can hear some resonance is moving and the other staying the same. That's characteristic of the kind of things that our human voice does. So if I now take this guy, and what I'm going to do is put on some... morphing parameters here, just some LFOs and things like that. And then I'm going to put a pitch sound into this. And now if I change the sound, the pitch of... You can hear it's very vocal sounding. It sounds like some crazy alien being talking to us.
Oh, of course, yes.
I call that the alien whiner. And, you know, of course, you can get much simpler filters as well. So moving up once again here, we have, this is just a brick wall filter. So it you know, if I put in the pitch sound here. I've got the fighting the parameters there. But, and not terribly interesting, but it shows the kind of thing you can do. It's actually a very, very steep cutoff filter. If I go up a few more filters here, I can get a... here I can get a nice high resonance out of the thing. So one more thing that hopefully I can explore with you here. One of the neat things about the H-chip and the original Morpheus filter was it can get such high gains that it'll start distorting internal to the nodes of the filter.
Yeah.
And the H-chip was designed to be have this sort of analog character, even though it's a digital filter, in terms of how it distorted and what happened with that. I haven't got it completed yet. This module will get better with this respect, but already it's got some of that character. So if I go way up into some of these pretty outrageous filters up in here, there's one that might work pretty well. Let's put a little pitch noise into this guy and this guy may be just a little too far out at this point. Yeah, that guy's in. Now that guy's pretty gravelly in terms of how he's working. There's some other ones that are much more saying, let's go way up to some of these high numbered ones. As I said, there's 288 of them, and there's some right up near. This guy's kind of fun if I can get him to work.
Thank you. I see. So, as we know, the Zeppelin filter from the Morpheus instrument.
Right.
When it came out, of course, we were impressed. But there was one thing we were a little bit disappointed. There were no option to create your own filter cubes.
Right.
Well, if you're fluent in C sound and pure data, of course, you would be very happy to have that option. But as I understood the manual at that time, it would have been too complicated and whatever.
Right.
What's the situation right now? Is it possible to create custom-made cubes, filter settings, setting your notes and notches by yourself?
So right now with the Morpheus as the product will be released, yeah, there won't be that capability.
Okay.
And the reason, once again, it's very similar to what happened with Morpheus. There's quite a bit of sound design that has to go into this cube. Mm. It's a little bit akin to, if you remember, the old Fairlight synthesizer, you could draw a waveform using a light pen, but all the waveforms sounded the same and they didn't sound very good.
More or less.
The same thing is true, that there's an awful lot of art that has gone into the design of these cubes. But I will say that is something that I very much would like to do in the future, but it's really kind of a research project to be able to create a tool that will allow a musician to be efficient in creating cubes that are reasonable.
I see.
And the other thing about it, I don't have time. You know, Ross Molector is a little company, and we got to get products out. I don't have time in the time frame of Morpheus to be able to do the research to find out exactly what it takes. I think it may be quite a bit easier now that we're using a different fundamental filter. This is something called a phaser filter, which is unconditionally stable. That was the other problem with the Morpheus, is that there were conditions with which you can make the H-chip go unstable.
I see.
So we had to be very careful not to let people do that in the H-chip. With this Morpheus module, we've solved that problem. Our filters are unconditionally stable, so that may make it viable to do that.
So these filters, these 288 selection of cubes, are, let's say, a pre-selection, a pre-optimization of the technical possibility, reduced to the musical or artistic usable filters.
Right, exactly. It's a pretty wide span of that space,
yeah,
because you have to realize that, you know, the original Morpheus had, I think, 192 filters in it. And then EMU went ahead and had their sound designers continue working on that. So ultimately, by the time the Ultra Proteus came out, we had the set of 288, and that's what we we've taken an Ultra Proteus and analyzed it to be able to get those same parameters out of it. So you have got quite a wide palette to be able to work from. But I certainly absolutely understand the appeal of being able to design your own, and would love to be able to offer that to folks. But, you know, it's another stage in the work, and it'll have to wait for yet another release to be able to get there.
Yeah, maybe at some day.
I think it may be someday sooner rather than later. At this point, it's not on the development chart for Ross Molector.
How do you see the potential with this kind of usage of a filter? How much room for improvement do you see in this filter concept, or how vast is the universe of sounds to still be discovered with such a tool?
That's a really good question. I have not played enough to have a real sense myself of what are the limitations. I remember when we developed the Morpheus at EMU, we were at that time a little disappointed at the limitations of the space. We thought it might be wider than it actually turned out to be within the Morpheus. We didn't have some of we didn't have the three-dimensional capability here. The other thing that I probably should mention is all three of these parameters not only are voltage controllable, but they are voltage controllable at audio rates.
That means the filter setting itself, the position in the cube, you might even get effects, very specific sidebands and extra frequency.
Right, all kinds of interesting cross-modulation effects that you wouldn't find in any other kind of module besides this this thing. The amount of math that's being done on those signals is phenomenal. So, you know, who knows what that's going to produce? So that's an area that is at this point completely unexplored. I have plugged it in and listened to a couple of ones and said, yeah, that's pretty interesting. But I really, even at this point in the show, well, I've only had the module making. Really working with these filters for about a week at this point, and most of that week has been spent getting ready for the show and getting over here. So, at this point, all I can say is that it looks very promising.
Yeah.
To have a lot of capability for that. One other thing I'd like to mention, what we've been doing today is just playing with the raw filters here.
Yeah.
The way Morpheus will actually work, the filters are a palette. But what the user will select instead, while we've been looking, I've just been using this knob here to select filters, but the user will actually use that to select what we call, we're going to call what we've been selecting cubes.
Yeah.
And what the user will select, we're going to call filters. A filter is a selection of a cube.
Yeah.
Then the user can decide where does he want zero CVs in all three dimensions to be within the cube. Where is the center of his filter in that cube? And then how far does he want to stretch his filter within that cube, that essentially the gain on the control voltage from that point in all three dimensions. So he now has six numbers that he can set, the zero point and the gain of each of the three morphs. He then also, because we've got this possibility of distortion within the filter that can generate more harmonics, we're allowing him to set for each of the left and right channels, because it's a stereo filter, the gain in and the gain out of the module around the filter, so he can deliberately cause it to distort or preventing it from distorting by using those gains appropriately. And then finally, we're also going to have the ability to program the transition time. When you switch into that filter, how long does it take to get from neutral into that filter, and how long does it take to get out? That can happen almost instantaneously.
Okay.
Well, we've been listening here. If I switch the filters, I can turn it back on again. So we've now switched. And so you can hear those are all, you know, they aren't clicking back and forth. They're fading in and out.
Yeah.
That's about 100 millisecond time constant there. And you'll be able to take that down to probably 5 milliseconds or so, all the way up to several seconds. And then finally, we now have this idea of a filter. We also have a sequence. Filters in here. So we have a filter sequencer. You can then choose an order that you would like to put a handful of your filters in, and then under either pulse control or by simply turning the knob, you can go to your own selection of sequences that are appropriate for a particular piece of music. So all of that is to make it so that performances are really practical.
I see. So you're not limited, for example, to one of the filter cubes, and maybe, as you illustrated, to optimize it for your personal taste or needs. You even can make the use of several filter cubes, not really in parallel, but using them in
a sequence. So you can even advance it on a note by note basis if you're playing note based instruments. You know, one note could use one, another one could switch up to another, and then back and forth, between multiple ones around in a loop. All of that's quite capable with this filter sequencer. So that's the tour of Morpheus.
Very cool. We're really interested what will come even out.
You bet.
Well, what currently comes out of that module. So sounds very interesting. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Die Superkakerlake.